Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we're going to be coming at you live from the West Palm Improv. Always fun with the live shows. Everybody brings it. And first, a little business. Simply Safe, 83% of burglars look for an alarm. Yes, that makes sense. Why would you want to rob a house that had an alarm? Only one in five homes have security because most companies don't make it easy. It's expensive. There's drilling. There's wires. There's a hassle. It's a mess. Simply Safe protects your whole home with 24/7 monitoring at a fraction of the cost, just $15 a month. And oftentimes police assume it's a false alarm, but not with Simply Safe because they have video verification technology. It visually confirms the break-in is happening, so no false alarms. And just for my listeners, I got a huge deal going on right now. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam, get a free HD security camera so they can visually verify it. It's a free HD camera when you order, and it's $100 value. So simplysafe.com/Adam, get the free HD security camera from Simply Safe, right, Dawson?
Make sure you take advantage of Simply Safe's video verification technology. You'll have eyes on home 24/7 and video evidence if someone tries to get in. Get your free HD security camera now at simplysafe.com/Adam today. That's simplysafe.com/Adam.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
While in Florida, he's condo shopping for when he's a deadbeat dad avoiding the tax man. Adam Carolla!
I slept about 4.5 hours last night, and then we met at the shop, and it was pitch black at the shop, and we were loading everything up and into my car, and Gabe was going to drive us to the LAX and drop us off and then bring the car back.
Yeah.
So we were going to be wheels up at about 6 a.m. this morning from Glendale. And tragedy struck. Now, I'm trying to figure out how to literally unpack this, but we got to the airport. We got there about 6:45. We had about an hour before our 7:45 flight. Everyone piled out of the car. Mike August drove because he's an animal, and he's the opposite of this Uber driver, and I like the way he drives hard, and he drives with passion. So he drove. We all jumped out of the car. We popped the trunk, and Mike made this announcement. Where's my backpack? Which is the fuck? You didn't think it was that bad. Like, when you were in school, and you said, where's my backpack? You lost a fucking history book.
No big deal.
Good riddance. Yeah, and some, like, dog hair or something that was in there. But when you get to the airport and you go, where's my backpack? Because that's where all the crucial shit goes. That's where the computers and the IDs
and all the gadgets
and all the chargers and everything goes. So Mike goes, where's my backpack? And we all go, I don't know. We got all our stuff. And then we do that thing where you look in the trunk three times, even though it's empty. It's like, it hasn't appeared.
Three times, fool.
The great kazoo. Then I look in the back seat of the car. Then they start. You start. you start nursing these insane ideas like, oh, pop the hood. Maybe it got under the manifold or something. So Mike said, no backpack. And Mike had no ID, and he had nothing. And Mike literally just got back in the car and drove from LAX back to Glendale.
For people outside the LA, you guys all in the LA area, it's a 45-minute drive each way under the best of conditions.
Oh, yeah, if you are the luckiest.
At 5:45 in the morning, it's a 45-minute drive.
Right, but now it's 7, and he's heading back. And he's cursing. What happened to my backpack? I said, you left it in your car, Mike. He said, I threw it in the trunk of this car. I said, well, you obviously didn't throw it in the trunk of my car. It would be here with the rest of our backpacks. He said, no. But by the way, what year is it? Where is our retinal scan? Where's our chip in our head? Why do we need this sack with our picture in it to get around? Like, you ever see those World War II movies where they're trying to escape, like The Great Escape, and they're at the train station, and the Gestapo's there, and they're like, let
papers.
Me see your papers.
That's always
papers. That was 75 years ago. We're doing the exact same thing today.
Yeah.
Yes, here's a playing card with a picture of me on it from 7 years ago. Is that enough? Yes, it is.
Yep.
Right this way, sir.
Now get...
You don't have a playing card with a miniature stamp-sized picture of your fat head from 7 years ago. You can't take the flight.
Right.
I don't get it, but okay. Mike went back. Then there was a lot of confusion and consternation. Mike was like, I put that shit in. Now, I made a mistake. I made a crucial error, and I blame myself. I've made a rule to never be thoughtful or courteous. But
and you are keeping that resolution.
53 years.
But
still
this
going.
This time when I pulled into the shop and I pulled the car right to where the front door was, I said, you know what? I should do a three-pointer, turn it around, and back it in so that we can load the merchandise bag and load all the stuff. Do we dim the lights? Can we take a look at this for a second? We have video security
back to the left of me,
and I pulled in at night, and I thought about it, and Mike wasn't there yet, and I thought, you know what? Let's be courteous. And this, again, if there are any kids listening, never be courteous.
Oh, you went the hard way. You could have pulled in that way, but no.
I said, says the race car driver. I'm
going
to do it right. I did a three-pointer. And I backed the shit right up to the door so that everyone could load in more easily. The problem is when Mike got in the car and took off, he no longer had to look over his shoulder or in the rearview mirror, in which case we would have seen his backpack if it was sitting on the deck lid of the trunk.
Easily.
Yeah, so you guys might not realize we've done a lot of talking about this since Adam landed on his flight. And what I'm realizing, the first logic problem that popped up to me was if the trunk was open, say the trunk was open and the bag fell out, August may not look in the rearview mirror often, but he would have noticed right away that the trunk was open. It would have been blocking his entire rear view.
Right, but he pulled out forward.
Right, but
never
he would have at some point looked in the rearview mirror instinctively like a human being.
I thought Mike is saying he put his big black backpack in the trunk. I said, Mike, you couldn't have. You set it down. It'll be
trunk.
At the shop.
Right.
It'll be on top of the trunk.
On top of the trunk.
It'll be still in your car. Anyway, they took off. When they were driving home, while he was on his phone trying to book a flight to Miami, not the one we were on, obviously, he was trying to find a new flight, he gets a phone call from a good Samaritan.
Oh.
They're still out there.
I have your backpack.
Oh.
Wow.
I saw it get run over by a truck.
I have the remnants of your backpack.
What's left of your backpack?
Mike's bag did, in fact, fly out of the trunk when he was getting onto the freeway.
You're telling me between the shop and the freeway, he never once glanced in the rearview mirror?
It was dark.
It would have been.
Mike drives like the Italian guy in the Gumball Rally, where he goes, "What is in the rear view is of no consequence," and he busts it off and he throws it at a disabled pedestrian. No, because what happened was is we took off into the night. There's no traffic in that neighborhood, and he just sped off.
Well, it's not like the trunk was popped so high that he couldn't see out of the window. It might have just been unlatched a little bit.
I think the trunk was all the way up, because if you...
Oh, my God!
I'm trying to help August, and there's no way to help him.
My point was just shit upon by videotape.
Yes, it was.
How does it feel? Not so good.
The trunk was completely open.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, my God.
I will admit I was wrong.
Mike's backpack was, in fact, the car. And we took off.
Wow.
And it fell off when we got on the freeway because Mike gets his hustle on.
Wow.
He had his prescription sunglasses in there. All run over. He was literally at the 5 in Glendale this morning in traffic picking up pieces of his computer, his charger, and some would say of his life. So now... He didn't wear his sunglasses at night. So now everyone's thinking, well, wait a minute. Well, who didn't shut the trunk? And what, if you want to know what a Nazi war criminal Gabe is, we all got into the car. Uh-huh. Gabe locked up the shop and was the last one to get in the car and walked with the trunk facing him and the thing open. Jumped into the car and said, let's ride. And Mike took off. Because who would walk past an open trunk and get into a car and go, let's go?
Just to be clear, are we talking about Key Fob Gabe?
Key Fob Gabe.
Okay,
Gabe.
So this has happened before? Okay.
Yes, the same person who put my wife's Tesla X key fob on her front driver's side tire. And then when I called my wife and said, where is the key fob? And she said, it's in the cup holder where I told Gabe to put it. And then I put the kids in the car. And then we drove to school. And then later on, somebody handed me a handful of key fob dust. But that was the most satisfying ever. So I went, all right. I pulled the car back in. I can't operate the car. I'm blocking my car in the garage. I shall go back in the house and get the extra key fob so I may move the car. Key fob was not there, but thankfully the little leather Tesla pouch remained. Super satisfying. I used it to hold my tears.
I love Gabe, but if I'm being generous, that's 50% on him, and it's the bad 50%.
It's a bad... The greatest phone call of my life is when I called my wife and I said, where is the extra key fob? And she said, I don't know, maybe a valet stole it.
As they're wont to do.
You know those rings, those guys working for the Medellin cartel.
Yeah.
Oh, they pose as a valet at a trendy restaurant, and they make off with the key fobs.
The kilo for key fob thing. We all know that.
They tunnel into Mexico. Everyone else is tunneling out. They're tunneling in with their cash of key fobs, selling them to kids on the street. First key fob's free. Get them hooked up good and proper. So, Gabe, I'm guessing, walked out of the shop past the trunk, which was in the full...
We have an open back seat, which I can only imagine is about to get filled.
Upright position.
Oh, no.
No, Gabe, no!
Now, wait. Did the trunk pop up as he pulled away, though? That's the question.
We're going to go frame by frame. Oh, there's two people getting in the back seat.
Yeah, no, that's it looped, I think. Oh, Gabe gets in.
This is the closest we'll ever get to a Zapruder
film. We pull away. Gabe, with the lights on.
poor guy.
Now, let me just tell you something about life. I am fairly prepared and I'm fairly organized, but I'm not so good that I can overcome people walking past trunks that are open and saying, let's roll, and or valet stealing key fobs. And evidently leaving the pouch behind.
Like when the dealer's showing six, there are certain things you bank on. There are certain things
right.
that are constants in your life. Gabe walking past the open trunk is not one of those things.
No, and it's all because I did the one thing I never do, which is took a moment and turned the car around. I always face it in.
Yeah.
We always get in. In that case, Mike would have backed up and been looking at the trunk as he tried to back up. We wouldn't have gotten anywhere. But that simple maneuver of turning around.
I hope
so
you
once
learned
again,
your lesson.
Yes.
You learned your lesson?
Never be thoughtful. Never be courteous. Never burn calories. Never look out for your fellow man. You look at them as co-workers. I look at them as animals. Forget it. They're dead to me. So Mike had to meet this mysterious stranger by the 405 who had what was left of his tattered backpack. The one, now, the computer was gone and the glasses were gone and all the chargers were gone, but at least he had
everything of value had been mysterious.
You know, it's very reminiscent of me in the leather key pouch for the five.
Yeah,
that's all I
that's
had.
All that's, left.
That's all he had. So
he was basically just going to identify the body.
Right. That's right.
He holds a pair of underwear.
Yes.
This is yours. Yes.
So Mike did not make the flight. But that being said, he had the middle seat between me
Ooh.
And a gal. And I got to tell you, I didn't miss his fat ass, number one. Number two, I like the extra tray table.
Oh, yeah.
I had my table out with my little cheesy snack on it, but the other tray table I could do with whatever I wish. Set my phone on there.
Sure.
The world's my oyster.
Absolutely. Who needs Mike?
Make it a triple.
Yes, I was. I was setting drinks. I was really using the shit out of that tray table. Brian went out to eat tonight with his lovely wife, Christy,
and
spotted what he thought were call girls.
Working girls.
Working girls.
It was odd when the middle-aged man walked in with two twins dressed exactly the same, that he didn't seem to know super well. He seemed to be getting to know them.
Right.
And Christy and I surmised that they were hired help.
Do you get a break?
Unless they were just twins up for a really good time.
Now let me ask you this. Do you get a break monetarily when you get twin prostitutes, or does it cost
more? I think it's more.
Yeah, because of the novelty, because they're identical.
Yeah, the scarcity. It's scarcity. Yeah.
Okay, but Gina, you know how like a 6-inch sub is $5?
Yes.
But a foot long is $8?
That's a good
point. It's
not
$10.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
He was buying in bulk.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, maybe this guy was just doing when a hurricane's going to blow through and you get some water and some dry food and stuff. Like maybe he was doing that with prostitutes.
But imagine going from a regular hotel room to the honeymoon suite. Is it twice as much? No, it's five times as much.
Yeah.
You're the only one in the hotel.
Yeah, but Brian, I'm not trying to hate. I saw the picture and that was no honeymoon suite.
In fact, Christy and I went.
Something horrible happened to their faces.
Christy and I went back and forth.
We tiled them out.
Were they actually twins? Or my theory, they were just blonde escorts who kind of looked enough alike to fill this guy's fantasy? More likely?
Maybe.
Christy's in the back screaming, they were twins.
I'm going to flip the script. Maybe they were mother and daughter. Thank you.
God.
Maybe they bought the dude.
I think that's legal in Florida.
Taboo 2 theme, thank you.
Yes, he does.
This is Taboo 2. This was Taboo 3.
He's in every detail.
All right, we're going to get sued for copyright. All right, so are there prostitutes to be had around here? Because I got to walk back to the hotel.
Any prostitutes out there?
That was a funny. I have never been with a prostitute in this country, Canada's Canada. Yeah, okay. Now you know what? I'm rambling now, but what I want to say, the funniest prostitute story I ever had is when Drew and I, Dr. Drew, you guys are going to see him on the crew. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of impacted rectums he's going to have to clean out when you guys are on your third Guy Fieri triple decker. And
Dr. that Drew night. In the hizzy.
By the way, all right. Let me digress, and then I'll get to the hooker story with Drew. But the, you know, we talk about like creepy characters in SNL, like Buck Henry was like Chester the Molester. It's like, hey, little girl, 9-year-old girl, jump up and down. Let me take pictures. And you go, what the hell was that?
Wouldn't fly today.
All right, that was a late night comedy show.
Right.
The series regular on the primetime one-hour show, The Love Boat, Dr. Bricker, the doctor on the ship, fucked everyone on the ship and made no bones about it. Like, they'd go to his office and he'd be like leaning against the wall and some chick would be cornered and she'd be like, I just want some Dramamine. And he's like, well, I got a little more for you, baby. And it's like it was a running joke that he was banging all the passengers.
These days, that's a scandal with the Olympic coach. That's the exact
scandal.
Could you
imagine pitching this like at the at the table read with the network? Well, we got Isaac. He's a non-threatening black man. He's behind the bar. Yeah. Good. Okay.
I'm thinking Kevin Hart for that role.
Yeah. Then there's Gopher. He's another non-threatening white dude, but he's kind of a lovable guy.
There's Thomas Middleditch, I'm thinking.
Captain
okay.
Steubing over there.
Perfect.
And then there's the ship's doctor who tries to rape all the women who come on the ship.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Oh, Gopher?
No. Something about rapists on the
boat? Isaac does a move where he makes a daiquiri. Pow, pow.
I can't help but thinking you said something about a rapist on
the boat. Oh, yeah. Dr. Bricker. Yeah. Well, he's not right, but non-consensual sex with all the pastors. I mean, I don't know. There may be pharmaceuticals. He's a doctor.
I don't think this is going to fly.
I think that's the clinical definition of rape.
Non-consensual
sex.
Well, Dr. Drew.
Well, yeah, but in international waters, it's like it's a different thing.
Yeah, we'll check on that.
Anything goes.
I didn't realize that. I'll check.
Yeah, remember they used to have those gambling barges outside of
River Road Casino.
Okay, never heard of a rape barge?
No, but I'm listening.
No, they.
I have now.
They tie up to the gambling barge.
Take a dinghy from one to the other.
Oh, you could jump. You got to run. A great grandfather died that way. He'd been drinking too much. People wore heels back then. Yeah. All right, so Dr. Drew. Yeah, if you watch The Love Boat, you'll realize that the single doctor tries to have sex with all the ladies on the ship. I'm guessing it's against policy now. But
he is a man of great passion, Dr. Drew.
But passion, yes. So Dr. Drew and I were doing... we're doing Love Line. We're doing Love Line in New York. We're in the city. We had to walk to CBS. CBS was like, I don't know, a million blocks away from the hotel. And Love Line, because of the time difference, we would have to go from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. in New York. So we're walking there. We do the show. And we leave on like a Thursday night. It's like 3:10 on a weeknight. We're walking through Times Square back when it was a little dicey. There are six chicks, all press-on nails and clamp-on hair. Most of them look like Flip Wilson's Geraldine character. All stuffed into a minivan. And they did as we were crossing the street, you're walking through... Back then, it was pretty dicey, and it's 3 a.m., and it's like you just put your head down and walk with purpose. And they were like, yoo-hoo, could you help some ladies out? And Drew's like, those ladies need our assistance. And he starts walking. He starts walking at the van, and I, like, grab his belt like you do. Like, you ever throw a dog in a pool, and you grab its tail, and it's like, and you just keep hanging on. I love that. It's the best part about owning a 110-pound lab. Is I throw him in the pool, and I grab his tail. It's like, not going anywhere. That's what Drew was doing. Like, those ladies, they require, yoo-hoo, over here.
You're a big boy.
in like a fucking beat to shit Aerostar van from like 1987. All right, so we got some Q&A, we got some Ace, we got some questions out there.
Yeah, thank you for your questions, by the way. I'm excited about this first one. Is there an Antoinetta in the house? Is there an Antoinetta? Probably four or five Antoinettas, honestly.
Antoinetta.
Antoinetta is 80, she's 80 years young, and she's... She says, I am the oldest person here. Listen to Corolla all the time. At this age, just his voice gives me a big thrill. Know what I mean? Her question is, know what I mean?
22 Skidoo.
Love you.
Wow. 80 years old, so that meant you were born in 39? Is that right? What year were you born?
38.
God, what have you seen? Man, you're...
Wow. Hey, Antoinetta.
God love ya.
So, like, when you're a kid, your iPhone sucked, right? Like, that was like a first gen. Like, couldn't use it as a camera. It didn't have the three lenses, right? How angry are you at people who are angry, like, they're, like, looking at their phone and they're going, fucking, the Uber guy's 7 minutes away. This is bullshit. And you had to ride a donkey to school and, like, do long division on a shovel. Fucking kids today, sitting around, watching.
I agree.
Yeah. What do you do? What did you do? You retired?
Yes. I worked for American Express.
Oh, you work for American Express. But now retired.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was back when you could have one job your whole life, right?
Yeah, two jobs.
Two jobs.
General Motors and American Express.
Oh, there look at that.
Wow.
Yep. What an American.
All American lady.
Yeah, now it's like I work at a vape dispensary and I do some online sex. It's really not as bad as it sounds. There's no contact. They just watch me.
Don't make me explain what a cam girl is.
Yeah. Wow. Integrity. You probably had like a Rolodex at your table, right? Probably had a phone that you dialed. Give us, like, you didn't have a TV in your house growing up, right?
When a teenager, yeah. Black and white.
Black and white, yeah.
I used to watch Kate Smith.
Yeah, the great Kate Smith before we ran her out. She got, you know the Kate Smith story?
No.
Oh.
Kate Smith used to do, like, I don't know, before every Yankee game or something, did God Bless America or something.
Okay.
And then they found out she had some skeletons in her past. She had a couple of, well, let's just say, just imagine if Weird Al was a racist.
Gotcha.
She had a couple of those songs in her past.
Say no more.
Somebody vetted her ass, and we thought, I know, it's got to be weird. I like the idea that we're firing people who are dead. I like that that's what it's got to do. Kate Smith, you're out.
You're out.
I've been dead for 27 years. You're further out now, bitch.
Not going to stop us.
So you would gather around and you would watch all those westerns and Gunsmoke and...
Bonanza.
And then... but, you know, to be fair, I had a fucking black and white TV, too, and it was 1979. So, you know, we all suffered. I bet... Where did you grow up?
Detroit.
All right. Woo. Michigan gal. I will bet that you have eaten more casserole in your life than this entire room combined.
Yeah. Yes. Hot dish. She had hot dish.
If I squeezed you hard enough now, some casserole would come out from 1957, right? This was a better country when we ate casserole.
Yeah. Amen.
Everyone's all into the fucking leafy greens and everyone's on... Yeah. Listen, everyone I've ever met who's on a cleanse is a fucking douche. The first thing that comes out of their ass is their sense of humor,
Thank
evidently.
You.
It's like, I've cleansed myself.
In liquid form.
That's right. I've become the most self-important douche in the world. You meet a dude who just polished off a casserole, that guy's in a good mood.
Pick.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Antoinetta.
Antoinetta.
Adam.
Yes.
Aren't you a little bit curious how this fine, amazing woman was turned on to your empire? Because I am.
No, not really. I'd rather tell her a story about myself. Oh, okay. If we must. What happened?
How did you find us? How did you find Adam?
On the radio.
Okay.
Young 47-year-old grandson came up one day and said... Oh, I love that.
Love that. Oh, yay.
Oh, happiness. I'll be right behind you on that water slide, Missy. Coming in hot. I wear my trunks high.
This is a change for me, because this one brought me to see Hugh Jackman.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
How the mighty have fallen.
Those are manly men.
Yeah. Well, when I pulled my wife beater off at the water park, don't picture Hugh Jackman's.
Don't worry, she won't.
Picture Hugh Jackman if he was thrown off a horse 9 years ago and was drinking in shore through a tray colt. I mean, physique-wise, I wish the man well.
Yeah,
you know what
course.
I'm saying? I'm just saying.
Yeah, nobody thought anything.
Physique-wise. Oh, you know Dr. Drew's going to be the gun show.
That son of a
bitch.
Oh,
he loves
that shirt's going to be
lift.
Off.
And there are some happy ladies here.
And I guarantee you, he's a man of exquisite passion. So
he might make love to you by accident.
Oh, he may. He'll go full Dr. Bricker on your ass. We are getting on the love boat, after all. All right, what else you got, Brad?
Next question is a question from a young man named Ben Cornish. Where is Ben Cornish? Is
Ben
he
Cornish.
Right there, right Middle. There. Mm-hmm. Ben would like to know, he says, you know, you train boxers. Did you ever have any actual bouts yourself, and did you win?
Well, I had a bout of herpes once. Are you talking about boxing?
I assume following up in the boxing.
I fought in the 1984 Golden Gloves in Los Angeles that was held in the Olympic Auditorium before they remodeled the auditorium. I did not do well, but I showed up. It was the longest. You want to know the longest? Like you know that you know you guys think like, oh, the flight was delayed an hour and 15 minutes. Now we got to go to the fucking Chili's and drink beer and watch 17 TVs. Just blows ass. If you think that hour and 15 minutes is long, show up for an amateur fight. And I showed up for this fight at like 9 a.m., and my fight was at like 4:45 in the afternoon. Ew. I just fucking paced around. I took like 28 pisses. I was like, all right, I'm going to take a piss, and then I'm going to get my trunks on, and then it was the longest day of my life. It was crazy. I remember the guy announced my name because there weren't many white guys there. They're all Hispanic. It was like L.A. Yeah. Black guys, Hispanic guys. But the guy went, and in this corner, Adam Carolla. He went full Spanish newscaster.
Carolla.
Full like local Spanish newscaster on my ass. I remember... borrowing a guy's shorts. You know, boxing trunks were like a big ticket item. Like, I didn't have boxing trunks.
Well, of course,
I swapped
for the Corollas.
With another guy. And that was my only amateur fight. I kind of got out of my system. I sparred enough in between, you know, before and after to cause long-term and short-term memory disorders. But no, I just train guys, and the guys I train didn't have real fights either. Yeah. Although the biggest struggle, I'd say, my clients had was with their sexuality. Yeah?
Adam, can you show a quick combination to the crowd?
I can, yeah.
It's
going to be suck for everyone listening at home.
Next, we have a ventriloquist coming out.
Yeah, my Mimes. Hands are all screwed up. All right, what do you want? What combo do you want?
Jab, jab, over.
I'll tell you the jab. I'll tell you the punch. I'll set all you guys up, and I hope it doesn't backfire on me. If some guy's drunk on the boat, and he's getting a little handsy with your woman, like let's say Dr. Drew.
Dude.
Gets lit, goes full Dr. Bricker from the Love Boat, getting a little handsy, he's explaining to you, no, it's okay if I examine her vagina. I'm a physician.
What I do now.
I will show you what to do to him. That will be the combo. Now, I'm left-handed, so I will stand in my left-handed stance. You guys will stand in your orthodox stance, as they call it. Funny they call it orthodox.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not like a lot of Jews.
Not a lot of fighters.
Kicked a lot of ass. Let me get my pants out of the way. Now we're throwing down.
I don't box on Shabbos.
Yeah, it's... but I'll give you the combo. The combo will be one jab up top, one jab down low, because when you do the jab down low, the person always puts their hands down, and then we come with the overhand, all right? Gina, you hold the mic.
Here we go. He's warming up. He's getting ready.
Scared.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
I'm so one. Close to my face.
Take that, Dr. Drew.
All right, you got another one?
I do, yes. Brother? Next question is from Josh Kirk. Where is Josh Kirk? Josh Kirk.
Over here?
Over here?
House left.
There we go. He hails all the way from Seattle. Are you
going to... Wow.
He says, are you going to buy your dad the damn trumpet?
Oh, yeah.
What of the flugelhorn?
Well, you know, my dad, where is he? Is he Josh, you say?
Right here.
Right
yeah.
there. Yeah. It's kind of on him because he was explaining, every time I meet with my dad, we talk about life and we talk about philosophy and we talk about everything. And then at the very end, he goes, could you buy me a trumpet? Which is a weird way to end every conversation, but that's the way we end. And if I had bought him a trumpet every time he asked, he'd have 7,000 trumpets. Like, he could open up a music store. But he said, can you buy me a trumpet? And I said, yeah, but you can't just go out. Gina.
Yeah.
Would you want me just to go out and buy your vibrator? No.
Are you offering?
You know they're 6-inch and foot longs?
Yeah.
Okay. You know how the... No, what I'm saying is it's a personal thing.
Yeah, I'd like to pick my own if it's all the same to you.
Right, right. So you can't just buy a man a flugelhorn.
Our Christmas bonuses are going to suck this year.
The flugelhorn chooses him.
So I told him what I always do. I go, just have your wife, that's my stepmom, Lynn, I go, have her text me everything you need, like where the store is, what, you know, what's it called? Like the Blowhard 3000 or something? You know what I mean? Give me a model number. Shitty Dad, Rusty Trombone. What? Give me the name of the fucking thing. I'll throw in a couple of mouthpieces and some valve oil because I'm feeling generous. The only time I ever heard my dad yell, cocksucker, is when we're driving through the San Fernando Valley and we're in his VW bug back in the day, and I pulled out his trumpet mouthpiece and I was holding it out the window to see, because, you know, when you're nine, comes the trumpet sound, right?
It's entertainment.
Yeah, and I dropped it and it got all jacked up and he didn't have $20 to buy a new one, so he's had this big skid mark, much like what happened to Mike August's backpack.
That's right.
I'm going to buy it for him, but he has to send me the number and the whatever. And I don't know if anyone here plays a trumpet or a brass instrument. Hey, can I say this? I'll say this. You know how smokers think the entire world is their fucking ashtray?
Yes.
Like, you're just talking to a guy smoking, and he's like, yeah, he just, like, flicks it into a schoolyard or into someone's fucking car, just, like, just toss. You know how people, like, hey, I'm done with this thing. Yeah. Like, I'm dropping it now. They'll do it when they're driving. They'll do whatever. Guys who play the horn, they think the entire world is their fucking kiddie pool. They will blow that spit valve out anytime. I've seen my dad standing at people's house on carpet, like just like playing. You know, it's like da 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 da. It's like, oh yeah, that's what we do. Yeah, they have a spit valve
on Berber.
On Berber.
No.
Be a good name for one of the reindeers. On Dixon. On Berber. On Low Cut Pile. Yeah, I'm going to get it to him, but he's got to get, or she has to follow up. I think what it is my dad's 88. You single, sweetie? My dad's 88.
She's into older men.
You're all right with uncut? I mean, his hair. He needs yeah, to, yeah. He's got a little...
What did you guys think?
He needs a trim. I don't know where you guys' heads are at. The point is this. My dad, I think... tells me, he's 88, I think he ends every conversation with, could I have a trumpet? And I go, yeah, no problem. And then the next time I see him, he forgot he asked the first time. I think that's what's going on. Well, it's not that sad.
Just give it to him.
All right, I'm buying him a trumpet. Do you guys know of a good trumpet? Should I get the brass one? Should I get the silver one? Should I get that Dizzy Gillespie one that goes up in the air at a 45 degree? You ever see that?
No,
You've never seen the Dizzy Gillespie one?
You got to have the cheeks.
Yeah, you got to have the cheeks. Yeah,
the cheeks.
Yeah, he's no Satchmo. All right, I'll give him the trumpet. You got one more?
We got two more. Would you like to hear a new Germany, or excuse me, a new rich man, poor man, or do you want to hear from somebody who's a Belgian?
I'll do both. I want rich man, poor man.
Real quick, rich man, poor fan from Ryan Alfred. Where's Ryan? Ryan's right here in front.
Right up
top. Ryan, there you go. We'll get you a mic. Do you have any, or do you want to know if I have any?
No, he has a good one.
Oh, you got a good one.
Frequent calls from the bank.
That's real good.
That's good.
Right. You either run the bank or you're bouncing checks. Yeah, the recent, rich man, poor man is stuff that rich people and poor people share, but the middle class need not apply. I know some of you guys know these, but I do have a couple that I've memorized. You guys can think about it as well. The origins of rich man, poor man was many years ago, probably 04, 05. I was sitting around at the writer's room with Kimmel, and I was working on his late night show, and I just had this concept of an outdoor shower. And I thought, if you have an outdoor shower, if you are showering outdoors, you're either super rich or super fucking poor. It's not a middle-class move. And I started thinking about rich man, poor man, and people have been suggesting them, and some of the ones I like were, when you enter a swanky department store, somebody runs at you who works at the store and yells, "May I help you?" Nervously. There's a... lives next door to a rapper. That one's hard to beat. This one I like. Starred in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
That's the one to beat.
That's good.
Yeah, I think that's the top of the list. Then there are ones that are a little more heady, like greatly affected by raising the minimum wage. It's a slow burn, right? All right, can you guys think of any?
How about this one? You You live amongst woodland creatures. Either you have an estate out in the woods, a cabin, a winter home up in the mountains, or you're just a hillbilly.
You're the Unabomber.
Trying to think. I have a whole list of
what
fucking
about,
50 of them.
Oh,
about,
getting married in a tent.
That's good.
Thank you.
Love swords. All right. We got one more.
This guy. I'm gonna attempt this name. Is this Dieter von Kauenberg? Where is Dieter? Where's our Belgian listener?
Do we have a Baron here?
So yeah. we have a listener from Ghent, Belgium.
Ooh. Uh-huh.
Nice.
Hello.
Yeah, I listen. You know what? I hate most other countries than the one I'm in, but I got no beef with your people.
Belgium's awesome. I've been to Brugge.
I'm sure you've got some skeletons in the past, but I don't judge.
It's a great little country.
Yes. You're here. Are you here for this?
Sure.
Yeah, I know. Everyone does.
Good
that.
Answer.
He
Good
stumbled
answer.
In looking for a beer.
Right. Right.
I saw your name. I came over from Miami.
You came in from where?
Miami.
Oh, Miami. All right. Well, we're going to Miami tomorrow morning,
right?
Are you going on the cruise or are you just rolling for the show?
I'm flying back tomorrow. Oh.
Back to Belgium?
Yeah.
How?
This is my last night.
Dieter, how do you pronounce your full name?
Dieter von
Kolenberger. I knew it.
Back to Belgium sounds like the worst 50s blues song ever. I'm going back to Belgium, here I come. Got some crazy little waffles there, and I'm going to give me one. Now I'm going to drink a pint, and I'm going in Bruges. Is Bruges in
Bruges?
In Bruges. Yeah. I'm going, but I don't got them blues. I'm going back to Belgium. Belgium.
Shoom up.
I think with this hair, I'd be the only black man in Belgium, right? What? Oh, he has a good one? Yeah, I got a question. All right, well, let me ask you this. Because I always have to take a turn for the negative. But I like it. Like, if you go, you come from where we come from. You come from L.A. And you go, all right, who does all the work? Like, who's doing all the gardening? Who's doing the masonry? Like, who's the guy's doing the remod? Who's the guy's work? You go Mexican, Hispanics. They're working. They're doing all the work. Whitey ain't doing it. Blackie ain't doing it. No, the Jews don't do it. We got Mexicans. When you're in Belgium, who are your Mexicans?
Well, in the 70s...
It's okay if they're Mexican, but I'm going to be disappointed. I want them to be like gypsies.
In the 70s, it was Italians.
Italians?
I knew it! Show them that combo, Ace.
But now it's Polish.
Polish.
Turkish.
Turkish.
And Moroccan.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right, but I'd like you to narrow it down to one Mexican. That's too many for me to choose from.
Let's say Turkish.
Turkish. All right. I'd like to know all the cultures, like who does the work.
Turks.
Because the Turks do the works. I'm going back to Belgium. Where the Turks do the works.
Doobie-doo-wop.
Doobie-doo-wop. All right. Let's see. Gina, you want to
get... No, Dieter has one question.
One more. Sorry,
the man came all the way from Belgium.
I know. Sorry.
So, I love both your books. Well, you read more, but I'm talking about Taco Bell experience.
You like not Taco Bell material and 50 Years Wall Beat Chicks?
Exactly.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Coming to the land of freedom, I was surprised how you get treated here by security and other minimum wage people.
Right.
You have authority.
Oh, right. So, who... I'll give you the best and the worst. The worst of all the minimum wage. So there's a chapter called We Built a Minimum Wage Gilded Cage, which is basically we got smart, we got rich, and then we hired a bunch of dumb fucking people and gave them $12 an hour to ruin our lives.
So far, so good, by the way.
Yeah. Like, you know, there's that thing where you're like at the movie theater and you're like, my car's right there. Could I just go out? My wife's cold. She went... Well, I can't let you back in. I go, you can watch me walk. Once you leave, you can't come back in. You can watch me walk to my car and get a sweat jacket. And once you leave, you can't get...
You gotta buy another ticket.
Those people, you pay them fucking $12 an hour. They ruin your life. They're at every airport. But I'll tell you what. The worst is anything to do with parking. Anything to do with parking. For some reason, you know what? I'd like to get one of those gates. It's essentially, it's a piece of 1x4 that extends 7 feet. It's 3 feet off the ground, and you have a toggle switch. And for some reason, that makes you the king of all you survey. You own everything.
You're the literal gatekeeper.
Yes, I don't give a fuck if David Geffen and Elon Musk like pull up in a 250 Ferrari California worth $40 million. You get to stand there and be a douche to them because you have the switch that makes the stick move.
Not my fault you didn't get your parking validated.
Well, how do you spell your name again? What is that? Elon what? Musk? Hold on. I'll tell you what. Suck my dick while I call one of my superiors and ask anybody that does anything with a car... Ooh. Parking, any kind of parking whatsoever. And again, if you control that stick, wow. I'll bet you everyone who started was nice when they got there. Right. After 3 weeks of having the button that controlled the stick,
drunk with power,
this became a douche.
You know, the only exception is the opposite of that person, toll booth operator.
Yeah,
they are on the clock. They got your change ready. They're ready to go.
Yeah, because. Oftentimes, I notice those are beleaguered women in horrible marriages. They're like, please, throw change at me. Please, look at me as a saggy fountain. Make a wish. Toss
anything
some
to
fucking
make me
shit
feel
at me.
Something.
Yes. Hey, buddy. Her name is Ruth. She's been working in this shit box for 29 years. She has a nickel permanently lodged in her cleavage. The doc says, leave it. Jade stage. Oh, toll booth nine. Sorry. So, the worst person is anything with cars. The best minimum wager is the person working the window at Taco Bell. As you fucking pull up, that person's all smiles. They will ask you if you want any hot sauce, extra hot sauce, whatever hot sauce. You tell, if you say, by the way, if you say, yeah, give me a couple extra hot sauce, she'll get a bucket, she'll get a box of the rafters. She'll get a ladder, she'll throw that in the patch, she'll tell your kid to move out of the passenger side and get into the back. She'll load it up with a skip loader. She's happy. And then the great thing about like Taco Bell is you go, all right, because I go on like lunch runs for guys who work on our Mexicans. We don't have Turks, but I'll go there, you go like, all right, that's 21 bean burritos and 45 chalupas and 128 Mr. Pibs.
That'll be $11.
That'll be $11. All happy. And there's just enough Taco Bell smell coming out to wet your whistle, you know, just enough to get your pussy wet, you know. You wouldn't want to live in that box, but there's enough coming through the window.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. And every once in a while, they want to tack a dessert on when you're ordering, you know. But it's just, all it is a broken tortilla that they put cinnamon on.
Yep,
you know, they don't
cinnamon.
Really. It's like when Pizza Hut does a dessert. Let me guess. It's a pizza with fucking fudge on it.
That's and Oreos.
Oh, a churro pizza.
You think that's how restaurants work? Like, oh, I ordered lamb chops. Would you like some dessert? We take powdered sugar and put them on top of lamb chops. Like, no, I want some fucking apple pie. Dessert.
Yes.
Dessert. Not what you guys make where you held back the salt and added the sugar.
Well, you know what the big one is, too? We have a restaurant, a commercial that plays constantly for BJ's, and they love them some pizookie.
The pizookie, yeah.
That's what a pizza that? Cookie, a pizookie.
A pizookie.
A pizookie, yeah.
Good name for a G's V.
All right.
The pizookie. Hey, buddy. Dr. Drew's going to examine G's pizookie.
It's on the Lido deck at 3. Hustle up. You want to talk about an endless wave? When do you see what comes out of that Pazookie?
Thank you.
All right. Shall we? I'll do a spot, and we'll do some news after that. Casserole. Ah, you want a chance? Want a chance to win a trip to Vegas and see me? You just go to your local AutoZone, and you're automatically entered when you purchase some Casserole. It's Casserole Edge. Get the 5 quarts and the extended life SDP filter for just $33.99. It's not even in the script, but I'll tell you this.
Three times!
Stronger than leading full synthetic. It is. This is why the terrorists hate us. It's Casserole Edge. Come on out and say hi to me in Vegas. Dawson?
No purchase necessary to enter to win. Open to residents of the 50 United States, District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico. Must be 18 years or older. Sweepstakes valid September 24th through October 21st. Void where prohibited. See your local AutoZone store for more details.
All right, should we do a little news, Gina Grant?
Let's do it.
News with Grant. News with Gina Grant. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grant. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina. Gina Grant.
Gina.
With Gina Grant.
Thank you.
Hold on. Let me say this. Chicks, I'll take a page out of Mike August's playbook, his stoic playbook.
Okay.
Because if you think about what Mike August's odyssey was today. Now, he ended up going back, catching a flight, had a layover in Phoenix, and then he's flying to Miami. He hasn't gotten there yet. We were at the curb. Mike got up. Goddamn, he's in Orange County now. Where the fuck is he out there? Nice. Yeah, see white people? Yeah. Those are our white people, Orange County. You guys have your own. This guy gets up in Orange County. He drives at like 4 in the morning. He meets me at the shop. We pack up under the darkness. We pack up. It's 5:45 in the morning. We sit in traffic all the way to LAX. We get there. It's been a 2.5-hour odyssey. He pops the trunk. He notices his backpack's gone. He looks inside the car. He pauses and he goes, "All right, I'm going back. You guys go ahead." He slams the trunk and he gets in. Now, if that were any chick I know, there'd be like 28. Why? But why?
I would be sitting up here looking exactly like Tammy Faye Baker.
Yes, but why
crying my fucking
what
eyes
happened?
Out.
No. Mike's just like, "Here we go." Gets in the car and they take off.
Adam.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard he actually just looked at you and just goes, "Game over."
Game over. That's right.
He's Bill Paxton in Aliens.
Yeah, he's like one of those guys, like in the action movie where he's falling through the thing and you're hanging on to him and the guy
Save yourself.
He's like, "No, Ted, you're coming." He pulls a knife out and slits.
It's too late for me.
That's what he did. He just went. He looked in the trunk, he looked in the car, he went, "Game over." And he got in the car, and he took off. But he didn't yell, "Why me?" or "Why does this always happen to me?" or even,
"Why can't I like, catch can a break?"
I like the, "What's happening?" like that. No, he just took off.
He's Seagal in Executive Decision. He's
That's
like,
right.
You go.
That's
complete
right.
the mission.
That's right. Executive
Decision. He's a hero.
Seagal in Executive Decision. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, the latest drug trend might not be something you've ever tried. That's probably for the best. It's toad venom. It's from the Colorado River toads, and it comes on strongly and immediately,
toad.
Yes. Mm. It lasts about 45 minutes, according to the New York Post. It leaves users immobile and unaware, extreme emotional reactions, extreme euphoria, extreme vomiting and diarrhea.
Is this is this like licking toads?
Yes.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is toad venom. It's back. One user described it as a total fusion with God.
Total.
But yeah. if caught with it, you can get up to 10 years in prison. It's a toxic liquid. It's extracted by milking the toad's poisonous venom glands, then drying it into a paste, and it'll cost you about $500 a pop.
Jesus Christ. I don't know all the people at the, what's the ayahuasca one?
Ayahuasca and ibogaine.
All this. What is this crazy? We have booze, people. We don't need to hang out with
booze.
We don't need to hang out with a shaman and yak. We don't need to go on a mysterious journey. We have fucking alcohol. We can sit at home, get drunk, and blame our parents. We don't have to go milk fucking toads.
That's a white people hobby.
Yes, and also, like, I don't like, you know when they try to explain to you, like, what are the different degrees of high? Like, well, it starts off good, and then you go to this weird dark place, and then you have sex with an animal, and then it gets better, and then you start to vomit, but everyone around you, you know, you got to be in a good environment. That's the beauty of booze. Fuck the environment. I'm drunk inside.
Yeah. Oh.
We are safe.
That's right.
New rich, rich man, poor man. Exotic drugs from nature?
Yes.
Like middle class has opioids and
right.
whatever.
Or like indigenous rainforest person. I got high on mushrooms once a million years ago. And I'll tell you the only thing that mushrooms are really good for. And on the ship, I brought some, Granny, so we're going to roll. After the show, I'm a pro. I won't do it before the show. I got an audience. But I got high on mushrooms, and I remember. So the thing about life is insane, and we tune it all out. The you know, going through the airport, taking your shoes off, taking your belt off, seeing them like getting women out of wheelchairs and like pushing them through or patting down 9-year-olds.
The freeway's insane.
Everything's insane. But I mean, what I mean is we have insane rituals that we do.
We're sort of numb to.
And we've like tuned it all out. Yeah. But when you get high on mushrooms, you're a newborn. And you turn on the TV and I saw a commercial for Lee press-on nails. And the chick was putting the red stick-on nails onto her fingers.
Sure.
And I was like, the women in our species put weird simulated bloody claws at the end of their fingers. And that's attractive to the male of the species.
Love it.
And you see the world. And then I saw the next commercial that came on was a monster truck rally.
Oh, no.
And it was like, it was monster trucks, like Bigfoot's in town. And Bigfoot is just mashing smaller cars. And everyone in the audience is like, yeah, kill that car. Fuck that Chevette. Get him, Bigfoot. And then I thought, the fuck kind of society have we crafted where the women stick claws and then we pay money to watch a big truck smash smaller cars?
It's Fury Road.
Yes, that's right.
Well, a burglar broke into a North Carolina residence last week and stole a 12-inch vibrator, according to a police report.
Foot long. Now.
$5.
It's cheaper that way.
Is it twice as much as the...
Yes, it is. The burglary suspect, who remains at large, he's still got to catch him, entered the home and departed with the 12-inch electric vibrator wand, a couple of pieces of jewelry, and it was all combined about $450.
Well, I thought when you stole vibrators, it was like ripping off a drug dealer. Like, they didn't call the cops.
Yeah,
it's
pretty shaming.
Like, did she ring up 911? Like, we got an emergency here.
They have ways of dealing with it.
I don't need to profile, but she's a 38-year-old woman in a 1,600-square-foot apartment, so she probably did call the cops.
All right, so she reported the jewelry and the
vibrator. Stolen. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And if apprehended, the vibrator thief could face larceny and breaking and entering charges.
To be fair to the thief, maybe he wasn't stealing the vibrator. Maybe he was using it as a device to transport the bracelets and the watches and the jewelry, you know, but just loading it up, you know what I mean? Yeah.
That's spoken like somebody who's stolen a vibrator before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't go bigger than C-cell. That's my deal.
Like the bear that sticks the stick down the anthole.
That's right. Like an aardvark or... bears. Right. What was that? Monkeys do it, right?
Something with opposable thumbs.
Yeah, yeah. They do that. They get termites out of it.
Right, termites. Yep.
Yeah, maybe that was it.
Well, you're going to hate this. Police...
Hold on.
Yeah.
But so he took the vibrator.
Yeah.
He took the jewelry.
Yeah.
But he left all the cats. You know there were cats. And you know, three of those cats were like, take me with you, bro. Yeah. It's like, nah,
I know they say cat burglar, but they don't mean it literally. This is mostly vibrators and jewelry for me. There's no resale per se for a cat, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a very good question. Mm-hmm. So the police in Lafarge, Wisconsin, are trying to curb destructive homecoming activities from the homecoming festivities for the kids by telling kids they need to get permission, written permission, before TPing someone's house.
I had this happen.
That's what made me think of you with Natalia.
What a weird world. My fucking daughter called me like 3 weeks ago, and she's like, Dad, can we TP my friend's house? And I'm like, no. And she's like, oh, okay. And then I thought, there's a part of that I like.
Yeah.
But let's really do the math.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're going to get that call in 6 years when she's 17. Hey, Dad, I'm thinking about blowing my boyfriend. Is that...
is that on the table?
Can I put his dick on? I mean, I don't like this trend of asking before you do all the shit I don't want you to do. I'd rather just get drunk and sit in my office with the door closed and you go out. I'll get the call from the cops or the angry dad.
Right.
That's the call I'll answer.
She'll ask for forgiveness, not permission.
Yes. I mean, what the fuck?
Well, this is what the police posted online to a little word of advice for the town. They said, if children are going to toilet paper someone's property, they should first receive consent from the property owner and clean up the mess with they're done.
Yeah.
They added that trespassing and vandalizing without consent of the owner will be prosecuted.
I didn't know. All right. So there's this thing. There's this thing. All right. There's two things. First off, any of you juvenile delinquents out there that are thinking about TPing somebody's house, come out to L.A. Don't TP my house. We should TP the homeless. Because I feel like they could use it. Those guys should be like mid-squat going, oh, thanks, bro.
Mana from heaven.
Three-ply.
Good looking out.
You're champion.
That means you care.
So we should TP the homeless people in L.A., number one. Number two, I do live in one of those communities where they do that shit, like the kids play jokes. And they have this thing on Halloween called, like, booing or something.
What is that?
They do this thing where they come to your house, they run out, and they just go bang, bang, bang on the door, and then they jump back in the car, and they take off. And I had no idea how this ceremony worked. I'm just sitting in my house. I'm alone. It's like 9 o'clock at night. It's like bang, bang, bang on the door, and I go run to the door, and there's no peephole, and there's no windows, there's no anything. So I'm standing by the door going, who is it? It's like, no one's answering. And
clacking your shotgun.
I'm going, who's there? And I go, nothing. I don't hear anything. And then I like run around to my daughter's room, and I'm trying to look through the window, but there's like an inset, so you can't tell if someone, I can't see around the corner, and I come back running around again. I'm like, who's there? Like, nothing. They took off a fucking half hour ago. This is a game. And my daughter's like, we got to go boo the Johnsons. I'm like, leave the fucking Johnsons alone. Like, I don't want to go bang on. By the way, what's clever, funny, or interesting about whacking on someone's door?
It's ding dong ditch. It's ding dong ditch.
I guess.
There's nothing new or clever about it.
I know. It's a Halloween thing, so we can look forward to that.
Well, speaking of Halloween, we talked about this maybe last year, and it's a big trend now in LA, so I'm wondering if it's a trend here. If you have a pumpkin on your doorstep that's painted like turquoise, that means that it's a nut-free home for your nut-free child.
Oh, wow. Really?
Big time.
That's how far we've fallen.
Not here.
No, they don't play that shit in Florida.
Yeah. Ooh, speaking of the homeless squatting outside, maybe they should pop the lid off that turquoise jack-o'-lantern and fill it with a...
It'll be nut-free.
Super precious Tootsie Roll. Let's
put it to use.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like Halloween because Halloween is one of those holidays where you don't have to decorate the outside of your house. Christmas, it's a little more put some shit up.
Festive.
Halloween lets you know who kind of the winner families are. Yeah. Like I'm walking up and down my street, we're a month out, and I see some houses that are done up.
Wow.
And I'm like, that dude's married to a Cracker Jack. That chick is fucking... She's probably on that soul cycle now.
Oh, the Peloton.
She's a Peloton. You know she's Pelotoning. She gets off.
puts a scarecrow in front, back on the Peloton. Probably that chick got the omelet waiting when the husband walks out. She's been looking at the newspaper and said, I know you thought Prop 131 was a good idea, but have you read the small print? No hot chick, because nobody has, especially 31-year-old hottie. Who are these fucking people? But yes, this is chick work, and they're busy doing up the front of that house. And I go, that family, they're winners.
It's not going to surprise you. You know who does that? Christy's parents.
I know it.
They're the house that people come and take pictures of on Halloween. Like, oh,
she's a winner. She's a legacy. She comes from a winning generation. she was fine until she met you.
Yeah, she's too good for like, her.
I know that. She's one of these that probably bake things put together
Halloween-shaped things.
Popcorn balls and stuff like that.
The homemade good stuff.
Yeah. Like, my wife's like, hold on. Does Grubhub set up Halloween motifs? They don't? Well, what if we threw them like an extra 40? Could they put some fucking Indian corn out front or something? They're bringing Taco Bell over anyway. Why don't they just gussy up the front? Olga, see if Grubhub does Halloween motifs. Somebody carry me back to my bedroom. I want to binge watch Locked Up Abroad.
Olga, ask Siri if Grubhub does.
Olga, saddle up. Where's my crop? Yes. I can't believe it. The first time I saw my fucking kids and my wife, I don't know if it's my wife, probably my kids. Somebody brought Taco Bell to my house. One bag. I was standing in my front door, and there's this 19-year-old chick just walking at me holding a Taco Bell bag. And I'm like, okay, you're going to have lunch in my house, sweetheart? Like, what are you doing with Taco Bell? She's just walking at me. She doesn't have, like, a clipboard. She's not trying to sign me up or anything. She's just walking to me, and I'm like, yes, and she's like, here's your small bag of tacos. And I'm like, why did you bring them to my house? Because there's a thing for lazy people where you can have an app.
The thing for lazy people used to be the drive-thru window. Now that is, you're having a red light day.
Man.
You can get to your car and back.
Oh, you got to get in there. You got to find the key fob. You got to push a button.
You gotta shift gears once, maybe twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you
put it in reverse and then drive. It's a whole to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of which, 1/3 of Americans say they've ended a relationship because they cannot live with a messy person. According to this one poll study, analysts found tidying up or lack of tidying up can be a major rift in relationships. Over 65% of people say they fought with their partner about cleaning. The main problem is dishes left in the sink.
Can I tell you this? I've had the fucking worst roommates. I've had a wife who's a little sloppy around the edges. We fix it with help. But when did everyone become a slob? Right. It drives me nuts. And I've had these roommates where you ask them to clean up their shit and then you guys got to throw down in the kitchen. Like, if someone is asking you to clean up your shit, it's because you didn't clean up your shit the first time.
I told you the story long ago, the worst roommate I ever had. And we had that same situation where in the kitchen, I said, Jacob, please, can you just unload the dishwasher once? Just once. He goes, I'm not your employee, Brian.
I know.
You got me there.
I had a roommate, John. John's a guy who threw his boot through a plate glass window because the stereo was too loud and he was taking a nap and blah, blah, blah. I've had the worst roommates ever. But this guy, one day, I came home. There's a huge pile of... First off, a couple things. You want to go old school. We had the cold water, the water bottle in the fridge.
Yeah.
With, you know, no air conditioning, San Fernando Valley, just fill a bottle up, you know, Clamato bottle up, put it in the fridge. That's your water bottle, like your cold water bottle. One day, we used to both drink off it, and I was just like taking a hit off it, and I put it back, and I noticed his tooth was floating in the bottom of it. He had a tooth like on a stem that he could pull out, and I was like, hey, John. He's like, hey, keep my tooth in there. Right, because if you put it on your fucking nightstand, the house would catch on fire? Like, what?
I go into this drink of water with this tooth floating around.
That is vile.
I go to the sink one day. Every fucking dish is broken in the sink. Every dish. This is like pre-IKEA, when a plate was a plate, you know what I mean? And it was all busted. And I was like, I was thinking to myself, like, what the fuck happened? I was doing what we did with Mike's backpack earlier today. I was like, did he get up on the counter and was like changing a light bulb and put his foot on it and like they cracked? Right. Or then I started to think about it. I was like, no, maybe it was full of water. And it was like buoyant, and then like the water drained out, and maybe the weight of the dishes cracked themselves. And I was like, "Hey, John, why are all the dishes broken in the sink?" And he goes, "I took a hammer to them." It is so awesome to be your roommate. This is a great, this is a great two-way street we have here. This is a fantastic working relationship. What the fuck is wrong with people? You're a fucking roommate. Listen. First off, if you had your shit together, you wouldn't have a roommate. But you don't have your shit together, so you do have a roommate. Maybe you had a little bad divorce. Maybe there was a little, you were chasing the dragon. I don't know what happened. The business fell apart. You have a fucking roommate. Both of the people who live in the apartment or the house who has the roommate wishes they live there alone. But they don't, for financial reasons. So they live with you, and you live with them. And then what you do is you act like a fucking human being, and you split up the chores, and you don't leave your shit everywhere. And when you get a new girlfriend, she doesn't fucking move in too. Who are these fucking people who they have roommates, they split the rent, and then they just fucking act like the queen of goddamn Sheba?
You mean besides the Golden Girls?
Yes, besides the Golden Girls.
Who hail from Miami.
Yeah, but the one super flamboyant... Oh, that's designing women. The one with the flamboyant gay guy.
The sugar
For Hollywood.
Right. I'm sorry.
No, you're talking about the sugar bakers. So, a Memphis man was arrested after police say he lied about being carjacked. Why would he lie about being carjacked? Oh, so he didn't have to tell his wife he was having an affair. On Monday, officers were called to a house when they met Anthony Thomas. The man claimed that two men carjacked him while he was sitting inside his vehicle. Now, after running the license plate information, police discovered that the vehicle had actually been towed a few hours before. Thomas claimed he was carjacked, but officers confronted him with the information, and that's when Thomas confessed to making the entire thing up. He reportedly told authorities that he lied so his wife wouldn't learn about his infidelity. He was charged with filing a false police report.
What happened to cool cops? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what
it's
happened
their
to
fault.
A fucking cop? You know, the cool cop where he pulls you over and you've had a couple of pops and he's like, I get it. I've been there before. Just... Yeah. Tuck in behind me and we'll slide up. Yeah. How far do you... Oh, I'm looking at your driver's license. You only live 8 blocks from here. Just slide in behind me.
Do you need an escort?
Yeah. Or you're like, yeah, you know, the fucking old lady's put on a few pounds. I'm banging a chick I work with. We're cool, right? Do we have to fucking fill out a report on everything?
Yeah. Well, the good old days, like, oh, Mr. Carson, you've had too many drinks. Why don't you follow us?
Right this way, Mr. Sinatra.
Yeah.
I'll put the rollers on. We'll go all the way to Malibu. Tuck in behind me. Get a bump draft. Yeah, and if there's a couple of floozies in the back, there's no report.
Thank you.
There's a fucking report on everything. Let me tell you, I'll tell you what's the end of cops. The goddamn, the cop cam, the chest cam.
Oh, the body cam.
Between the body cam and letting chicks be cops, it's fucking over. There is no...
We did it to ourselves.
No, I swear to God, when I was doing the man show, we were doing rehearsal. And we're, like, sitting out on the stage, and, like, one of the juggy dance squad chicks, they're all hot, but anyway, they're hot, super Vanessa, she was, like, super hot, you know, and she's like, oh, sorry, I'm late, I got a ticket. And I said, you got a ticket? And she's like, yeah, I got a speeding ticket on the 101 on the Ventura Freeway. I'm like, who, what dude, come on, no one's giving you a ticket. And she goes, it was a chick cop. And I was like... This is why we can't have it, people. If they're not handing out tickets to hot chicks, they're walking in the wrong apartment and shooting black dudes. I've seen enough. I've seen enough.
Read the news, people.
It's one or the other. They got two modes. Handing out chicken shit tickets to juggy dance squatters and shooting innocent black dudes in their own apartment. That's all they do. And this podcast has seen enough.
Someone had to say something.
You make a valid point.
Sorry to get serious on you, Gina, but you know I'm right.
No, I can't argue with that.
It's A or B. There's no C. It's either chicken, chicken, side chicks.
Oh, she can be a C. Don't get me wrong.
Gina.
That's good. All right. Speaking of driving, Geico, you got to get some insurance on there. That's what I'm going to say. You got the to-do list. How about you save a bunch of money on your auto insurance? Go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on that extra, and put that extra money in your pocket at Geico. That is geico.com. All right, Gina, let's do one more.
All right. Well, I've been saving this one for a day or two. A driver in the UK was stopped by police for speeding. Mm-hmm. But he had a honey of an excuse, and I think you're going to like it.
Uh-huh.
He blamed it on his farting passenger.
Oh.
He claimed he was trying to reach his destination as fast as he could to escape the smell. Cops weren't buying it. It was one of a string of bizarre excuses that's been going around in Great Britain. The officers laughed at the excuse. It didn't get him out of the ticket. They said,
I had horrible gas. Was in a guy named Carl DeLutri's VW Bug. I farted him up so bad, he said one more time, "You're out of the car." I, of course, let that last one go.
Challenge accepted.
I rode for several miles outside of his car. If you stand on the bumper of a VW Bug, a Bug from like the 60s, you can stand on the rear bumper, lean forward, and hang on to the weird like water trough edge on the side of the thing, and you just grab on it. I just drove home outside of the car.
It's reasonable.
Wow.
It's reasonable.
It's very Back to the Future.
It can be done.
What about cash and prizes, cash bolt, cash lightning?
Me and Jimmy.
T-Chance Thrasher.
Me and Jimmy. Here's the best and the worst fart story ever. Me and Jimmy were going to drive to Vegas to celebrate Big Tad's 21st birthday. This must have been in 1995 and a half. Jimmy had told me he was eating raw clams and beans so that he could front load for a farting excursion, and that he was going to destroy us all in this rented van we got. But what he didn't know is that Big Tad had an older brother who was a male stripper who was the gas king of New Orleans. I mean, this guy had a problem, a big-time problem. And we got about 100 feet from my apartment, and Jimmy announced confidently, "Oh, it's on." And he leaned over and let like a 4.5 toot out of his ass. And T-Chance Thrasher, that was the name of the fart king from New Orleans, he looked back at Jimmy, and he's like, "Oh, it's on? Oh, it's on." And he leaned over, and he blew us up all the way to Vegas. And the worst thing ever happened, I don't know if you guys, this is not a chick thing, but thankfully, I dug out a pack of matches. And every time he'd fart, I'd hit the match. But one time, I got the match out. I'm like, "Jimmy, I'm going to light the match." And I started to strike the match, and Jimmy let the window down right as I struck the match, and it blew the match out immediately and weaponized the fart in the hot...
Ninja.
The hot desert air. Yeah. You guys, women don't fart on people, right?
Not as a weapon.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like a game.
Oh, no.
It?
We
childbirth.
We do it. I mean, the best fart story ever was the Trader Joe's coffee tin fart with me and Jimmy. I mean, you can't do better. You can only tie this story. We're in my kitchen. We had some poker night or something back in the day. Everyone cleared out. And Jimmy, because he's a super dutiful guy, that's going to come in a second. He was cleaning. He was at the dish. He was doing all the dishes and cleaning everything up.
Good guy.
And I was standing next to him, and I felt this big fart come on because we were eating ribs and seven-layer dip and everything. And I quickly grabbed that Trader Joe's cylinder of whole bean coffee with the toucan on it or whatever, the parrot. Like, it had like three beans in the bottom of it. And I popped the lid off, and I put it against my ass. And I even gave it a half turn, like, to get a vapor lock going. And I just filled it up,
with all ass, and I popped the cap back on it, and Jimmy's, he had his back to me. He was, like, doing the dishes. He had the thing running.
He's got an apron, a good friend.
Apron and gloves.
And I said, Jimmy, ever smell whole roasted Sumatran, like whole bean, like really, you really smell that? And he's like, no, I've not had the whole bean stuff. And he popped the lid off, and he buried his face in it because... When people go like, hey, man, smell my fingers, people are like, or they go like, hey, is this milk bad? You know, they're like, But when you hand them a tin of coffee and there's like three beans at the bottom of it, and he was like literally trying to lift them with his nose. He planted this thing against his head and he just went. Then he just paused and like leaned back. He just leaned back and went. What happened? And then he knew, like he saw my face, like he saw sheer ecstasy. When my twins were born, it was fine, but this moment, my face was like, I'd never been happier with myself my entire life. You can do all the wafting you want and do the whatever,
yeah,
and guys will just,
dilute.
They'll go, shields, you know, they'll just go up like that or whatever, but you can't get them to say, that's literally like telling a guy, put your nose in my asshole and breathe. Suck it up. That was awesome. All right, Gina, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina! That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right, Dawson, get ready. One more Castrol Edge. We'll see if Dawson's been drinking yet tonight. Castrol. Ah, you want to see me in Vegas? Then head on out to your local AutoZone, and you'll be entered automatically when you purchase some Castrol oil. Get 5 quarts of Castrol Edge. 3 times!
3 times!
Stronger than leading full synthetic, and you can be registered to win a trip 3 days and 2 nights in Vegas to meet me in November. Right, Dawson?
No purchase necessary to enter the win. Open to residents of the 50 United States, District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico. Must be 18 years or older. Sweepstakes valid September 24th through October 21st. Fort Point prohibited. See your local AutoZone store for more details.
Yeah!
He's acclimated.
Thanks, you guys, for coming out tonight, making the pilgrimage. We'll see most of you on the ship. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Gina Grad and Bald Brian saying, mahalo!
Bald Brian Carolla, show on Twitter. Adam Carolla, show on Twitter.